Good morning, Leesville Methodist Church. This is our second Sunday in quarantine. This is the sermon for March 29th. And I want to begin by just updating you on Eugenia. She did pass her stress test on Monday, but the hip replacement procedure that was scheduled for Thursday was canceled. So she's in continual pain, and we don't know when they'll be able to address that. So let's pray for her and all of our shut-ins and all of the needs that we're aware of. Let's just pray together right now. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we know that nothing catches you by surprise. We know that you're the Creator, that you made this world as an expression of your love. We know that sin entered into the world, but that you were not caught off guard. Not only are you the creator, but you're the preserver. And we thank you for divine providence. We thank you that you are involved in our lives and that you know how anyone who's listening, but especially for our elderly and shut-ins, Lord, I pray for Eugenia, for Donnie, for Mita, for my father Les, and for Sese. Lord, I pray that you will open your word to us and help us to see things from your perspective. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm turning to Romans chapter 5. And I want to pick up some selected phrases beginning at verse 12 that are the basis for what I want to share with you this morning. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death came through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. In verse 15, I'll pick up, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? In verse 17, for if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Now, let me just pick up the last half of verse 20. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. You may be more familiar with the language that says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so I'm simply talking to you this morning in terms of the bad news and the good news. Let me talk about the bad news first of all. That's the sin virus. The Bible tells us that in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. They are the first parents of everyone. And so that means there's really only one race, that is the human race. But the bad news is that the whole human race was infected by a virus. This sin virus is the most deadly virus ever to affect the human race. It operates as a parasite on everything that is good. Now, the devil was the original carrier, and he first persuaded Eve and then Adam to eat the forbidden fruit. We don't know exactly what that fruit was. Folklore says it was an apple. The word evil in Latin are almost the same, the difference being either a long vowel or a short vowel. And so evil was misread as apple. And from that point on, we've always thought it was a poisonous apple. But really, the apple was not poison because God made it. God made everything, and everything he made was good. So if you'll indulge me in a little bit of my humor, sin really is not the apple in the tree, it's the pear on the ground. They were infected with a sinful attitude. And that attitude, that sin virus, says, we don't need God to tell us what to do. I'll do it my way. So, to be theological, sin was not passed along through the bloodstream. Sin is not encoded in the DNA molecule. Actually, it's a legal liability that we inherit. It's a tendency that's passed on from Adam to every human being. We were all born with that liability. Sin is moral insanity. Sin is the reason we have to lock our doors and windows and turn on the security system. And then after we've locked out all the bad people, we discover that sin is still locked in within us. And we're held hostage by sinful fear and pride, sinful desire, sinful anger and doubt. As early as Genesis chapter 6, this statement is made that apart from divine grace, every inclination of the thoughts of man's heart is only evil all of the time. That's a pretty radical virus. The Hebrew word that's translated there, imaginations or inclination, means a propensity, a tendency, or direction. And it describes the formation of our thoughts. The old Hebrew rabbis used this term, the evil tendency, as their expression of the sin virus. The sin virus is so deadly that heaven is quarantined. God's got a barrier, and if he lets sin into heaven, it would only be a matter of time until heaven became hell. Now, the world's religions regard our sinful condition as normal, but the Bible tells us that it is actually abnormal. Actually, we're already walking dead. God is the source of life, and through sin and our rebellion, we cut ourselves off from him as well as from heaven. And so realize that the condition we are currently in is not the way God made us. Now, in addition to the sin virus, throughout the history of civilization, there have been many other epidemics and plagues. You remember Egypt had 10 plagues. Then in the Byzantine Empire, there was a pandemic that originated in Africa and was brought to Europe, apparently through infected rats that came on merchant ships. It reached Constantinople by AD 541, and soon it was claiming 10,000 lives a day. They estimate that 25 million people may have died from that pandemic. You may have heard of the Black Death in 1347 that invaded Europe from the east and wiped out the population of entire European towns. You may have heard of the bubonic plague, the Great Plague of London, the Great Plague of Marseille, and the plague pandemic in 1855 in China. These are just some of the great epidemics that have affected the human race, but sin has been the worst plague of all. That's the bad news, but I've got good news for you. The good news is that we've discovered a complete cure. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, had to become completely human. Now, at the same time, he retained his deity. And because he was a sinless human being, he had complete immunity to the sin plague. And so he took our punishment. He took the ravages of the disease into his own body and produced a cure. And so, in a very real sense, Jesus is the only physician who can cure his patients by taking their disease. He can take our disease because he's human, but because he's God, the disease cannot kill him. Well, technically it did for 3 days. But Acts 2, verse 24 explains it was impossible for death to hold its grip on Jesus Christ. Now, of course, that just begins my imaginative process. And if I could put it in today's language, apparently Jesus was too hot to handle. Jesus could not be tamed. He could not be subdued. Buck Owens had a great hit a long time ago called "I've Got a Tiger by the Tail." And in a very real sense, death had a tiger by its tail, except we would say more biblically it was not a tiger, but it was a lion. And so my question facetiously is, what do you do with a lion after you catch it? Well, the answer is ask death. Death caught the lion, but death couldn't hold on to it. Death had to let go of it. Praise God, that's what we will be celebrating on Easter Sunday. Although we are abnormal, infected with the black plague of sin, and terminally ill, Jesus is so much alive that when we trust in him and his Spirit enters us, we can make a full recovery. Now, there's an old Negro spiritual entitled, "There is a Balm in Gilead." We don't use the word balm very much except to describe lip balm, but balm actually is a medication. Gilead is a town referred to in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22. This town was famous for its spices and ointment, which was developed from plants growing by the Jordan River. And so Gilead was famous for producing its ointment or its balm. But Jeremiah is saying rhetorically that Israel was so corrupted by sin that the balm of Gilead wouldn't even heal them. And so the universal balm is not from Gilead, but the universal balm is Jesus Christ. He's the one that washes away our sin. Nothing. What can wash away our sin? What can cleanse us from this sin virus? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Blood is a graphic symbol of life, and the shedding of blood is a graphic picture of death. And so this is a reference to the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That is the only hope that you and I have. He is the only hope the world has. And the question is, can this balm reverse the curse of sin? Well, that brings us to our beginning point in Romans chapter 5. And if you'll read carefully verses 12 down to verse 21, the end of the chapter, Paul there explains that many died because one man became the carrier of sin. That first man was Adam. But Jesus is called the second Adam. Or he's called the last Adam. He's called the second man. And through him, God's grace counteracts the plague that was brought through the original Adam. Let me just make it as simple as I can. One man got us into this mess. One man can get us out of this mess. The first Adam got us into this mess. The last Adam can deliver us from this mess. And so, does Jesus Christ have enough virtue to save you from yourself and this plague of sin? And in Romans chapter 5, look for this kind of language. How much more? It's not simply that God can just scrape up enough money to the last penny and he can just barely pay our penalty. No, he overpays. Where sin abounds, literally the text says grace superabounds. God can not only reverse the curse of sin in our lives, but through his redemption, he can restore to us more than was ever lost initially. And so, we believe that grace is more powerful than sin. What that means is that when God finishes His master plan of redemption, that is a recovery program, a restoration program, when God finishes restoring this world, the new world will be better than the old world was before Adam ever let in the sin virus. And so that's an encouraging thought. That's a hopeful thought. And it brings to mind a song I grew up singing in our church. It's not in our hymnal. It was written by a Norwegian man. He had an unusual name of Halder Lilianus. That's just kind of an aside, but I had an uncle who was named Halder, and he was named after this Nazarene hymn writer. Halder Lilianus wrote a lot of great songs, but this one is Under the Atoning Blood. And one verse says, "Where shall I the praise of Christ begin? Gone the heavy burden of my sin. Grace has changed the world I'm living in. Under the Atoning Blood." That's a powerful phrase. Grace has changed this world I'm living in. God's grace, through Christ's atonement and through the application of the Holy Spirit, can not only heal you, body, soul, and mind, can not only save our family, but it can change the whole world. And so essentially what I'm saying is that the sin virus is worse than you can ever imagine. It has 100% death rate. But there is an antidote. There is a balm. And salvation is better than you can imagine. The saving grace of Jesus Christ has 100% cure rate. And so, really all I've done this morning is given you the bad news and given you the good news. The bad news is it's worse than we think. And the good news is that salvation is better than we think. May God continue to work His saving grace in our lives, and may God use our church and His body here on earth, the universal church, as an instrument of His grace and redemption and reconciliation. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that You didn't abandon us in our moment of greatest need. I thank You that You didn't walk away in anger and disgust, but that in Your great heart of love, You took pity and You were merciful to a race of rebellious sinners. And I thank You that there is hope. There is hope from the sin virus. And I also believe that as the Creator, You're not going to allow us to destroy ourselves. Now, we need to take every precaution we can. But I believe this world will end on Your terms. And Jesus Christ will be acknowledged as Lord of all. I believe this world will end on a triumphant, positive note, that we're not all going down the tubes because of our own mistakes and failures. Save us from ourselves, and save us from this sin virus, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.